Good evening, everybody. We're the Tri-State Sports Guys coming to you live from beautiful downtown Norwalk, Connecticut. I'm Mike DePalma back in studio with us after a one-week hiatus. 2 weeks, really,
yeah.
On account of the hurricane there. But Neil Lynch in studio. Neil, how we doing?
I'm glad because it's ladies' night at Perry Avenue Bar and Grill.
It's
half-price drinks for ladies.
Yep. Come on down, ladies. If you're in the area, half-price drinks down to the Perry Avenue Bar and Grill. Well, Neil, it's good to have you back, buddy. You look clean-shaven.
Yeah.
You look like you got your act together in the last 2 weeks.
Yeah, well, you didn't see me this weekend. So
yeah.
I had a whole day to recover.
All right, we got a lot to get to. We got to start out first. News coming out at 7 o'clock. Rob Dickey.
Yeah.
Picking up a Cy Young Award. Now, I was he won pretty handily. I was worried he wasn't going to win it, though. Maybe that's just my pessimistic method. I thought he should have won, definitely, when you look at what he did and just dominance that he had with a team that was that bad and have a record that many games over 500, win 20 games on a team that was that bad. I thought it was a no-brainer, but glad to see him win. Were you worried at all, or were you just cool as a clam?
Cool as a clam.
That's which isn't a phrase.
Yeah. Yeah.
My mind just went to a bad area. But, no, I mean, you look at what he's done and the fact that, like you said, the team that he was playing with was suspect. They rarely gave him run support, you know?
Yeah, he had to get that many complete games.
Exactly.
Because he wasn't throwing complete games and they're up 10-0.
Right.
You know, he was pitching because literally they didn't have a back end of the bullpen. They're like,
yeah.
R.A., this is what you got, buddy. We're with you, man.
But definitely get rid of him, right?
I still want to trade him. You know I want to trade him. You know I want to trade him. But David Price won a tight one over in the American League. 4 votes separated him, and I think they said it was the closest a race has been since there was some tie back in 69 or something. So, very close race. Again, that could have gone either way. I thought David Price should have won it also, but, you couldn't argue against Weaver, who's just, in my mind, if I was starting a team, he might be the starting pitcher I'd want over everybody else, as consistent as he is. And then, Verlander's nasty, but glad to see David Price win. Let's shift over to basketball. We'll get to baseball. We actually do have some things, some baseball stuff to get to a little later on. But let's start with the news of the NBA. And I wish our producer, Tony, was here because he loves the NBA and he loves the Western Conference, obviously, with the OKC boys. But, there was talk early on about, firing Coach Brown out in L.A. And I'm like, well, they're not going to fire him this soon. And then there was that, the death stare from Kobe Bryant. And next day, my man got the boot after 6 games, whatever it was.
They were saying it was like the equivalent of firing an NFL coach midway through the third quarter of the first game.
That's not right. I didn't know that. That's exactly what it is. And a college coach, it had to
figure it out. You're done.
You're done. Listen. But what was surprising to me is clearly it was almost a knee-jerk reaction, and the proof is just in the fact that their coaching search after that. There was everybody assumed they were going to get Phil Jackson. He came in with some ridiculous demands, which we'll get to in a minute, but they wind up going with D'Antoni, who I actually think is a decent fit there, but he can't even coach for 2 weeks because he can't board a plane because he just had knee surgery or something. So it's like if you had thought this out, why would you not just stick with Coach Brown for another couple weeks, not let anybody know, and then when D'Antoni is available, then, okay, you go out and get him.
Yeah, it makes me think that someone with a lot of clout threw a tirade and they had to make some moves quick.
Right. The only thing I could think of is that, their schedule gets a little easier for the next 10 games, and maybe there was that fear that, all right, we started out 1-4. What if, we go 7-3 over the next 10 games, but it's more because of our schedule, and now it's going to be hard for us to fire him. They wanted to fire him, but it just seems weird. Why start the season like that? Why, It's very
– because they were going after – they were saying – I don't know if it was Kobe or whoever. They were saying that they were going to challenge the Chicago Bulls historic season where they only lost, 6 games.
Yeah.
So it's like, well, guys, we almost said 6. We're going to start
– we got to really
– make a change.
Yeah, but, I think, Nash is still out with injury, but when he comes back, I actually – and there's a lot of people – it's really a divisive – coaching decision because there's a lot of so-called experts out there that think it's a terrible hire. They're an aging team who might not be able to keep up with the tempo that D'Antoni likes to run. That being said, that you know, they got Steve Nash, who had just put up ridiculous numbers under D'Antoni. You know, I think Kobe, he's old, but he doesn't show his age yet. He's got a couple more years in the tank. So, you know, I don't know. I actually think it's a decent hire. Now, Phil Jackson, I just assumed when the firing took place, okay, Phil Jackson will come back. And then he comes with a demand that he now basically is backing off of. But the word was he demanded, well, I'll coach. I just won't travel with the team at all. I just won't coach half of the games.
Yeah.
Like, how could that be a realistic demand in the NBA? You're going to say, well, I'm not going to travel.
Wasn't there a player who wanted that arrangement? It was like Roger Clemens was like, I'll pitch home games, and then, you know, we'll go to the travel team.
Yeah, I think he got it. Didn't he? When he came back, he's like, well, I'm going to just fly home to Texas every time, you know. I'm not going to travel with the team at all. I'm not even going to be at the stadium when I'm not pitching. You know,
I'll just Skype in.
I'll just Skype in. Hey, Rocket here.
On the bench, but you see his face on a laptop.
Yeah, right. It's like that little commercial, the iPad commercial with it. Back to playing the tuba.
Yeah.
It's been a weird few months for the Lakers. You know, obviously the big trade for Dwight Howard. You get Steve Nash, and all this talk, and on the show, we weren't really huge buyers on the Lakers as far as being the type of team that they predicted they would be, the dynasty bull type team.
Right.
You know, they're going to make the playoffs. You know, they're still well under 500 now, but they're going to make the playoffs and be fine in the West. But, you know, I don't see them as a team that can contend with Oklahoma City, even without Harden, and even with the Spurs, being the well-oiled machine that they are. I don't see them still being a team that I think is going to threaten for an NBA championship. Do you see it?
Yeah, I mean, to me it seems like they're going to be the kind of team that wins. They're not going to win a ton of ball games, but they're going to hang in the race. And you know, I wouldn't be surprised if they have a lower seed going in the playoffs and then they just run the table from there.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it's not ideal, but, you know, eventually Howard's going to come out of this funk where, like, he's kind of got some injuries going and,
he
stinks.
God, I
hate Dwight Howard. We were all coming down on him for being injury prone, and look at what's going on with Bynum.
Bynum's out until Christmas.
Yeah,
I mean, he's out for a long time. And I know he's a guy, you know, the Sixers took a stole in that deal. And he has a big problem there in Philadelphia. But, basketball, it's well underway here. Might be calling it later on, but O was at the game last night in Brooklyn. And he went down to Brooklyn and he said he's going to give me an update on it. He sent me a picture of the arena literally right before tip-off, and it was 50% full in back. And I said, man, maybe they're just turning to like LA fans. They're going to come rolling in. But
yeah,
I texted him late in the second quarter and he said it's maybe 70% full. Now, that's, I assume a lot of it still has to do with the problems in, you know, still the aftermath of Sandy and all. I can't imagine that the luster fell off that quickly. The hottest ticket in town to filling up. I mean, granted, they weren't playing a great team in the Cleveland Cavaliers, but
isn't there if you use an old expression, like riffraff that goes on like around that stadium? Like there were apparently people urinating in public, and there's a lot of that going around. I mean, not like that doesn't happen in every sports stadium, but maybe it's just like people will overdo it there.
Yeah, and I think
bench like drives them away.
I think that you know, anybody that's been in Brooklyn, you know, that it's a very weird place. You go one block and it's a rough peeing in the street, and then it's just hipster nation the next block over. And
recycling the urine into like a Mr. Coffee type drink.
Yeah, right. It just being super weird. And so I think that, you know, and there's a lot of money in that hipster community. I think that Brooklyn is part of their allure was that we're going to steal away those, like, it's going to be the cool thing, like the ironic thing to do. Like,
you think they're going to follow in the footsteps of the Miami Marlins at all?
No. I don't think so. I don't think you really need to do that in the NBA. I mean, I don't think that there's even the small market teams don't have that much of a problem meeting the payroll, you know, the cap. You know, I think that even the small market teams worry about the cap. I don't think there's a lot. You know, it's not like baseball where you're going to have a team spending, you know, a third of what the average team plays. I just don't think that's the case in the NBA for a lot of reasons. One is, I mean, your payroll is sizable, but, you know, you got 12 active players, a couple dozen in your practice squad. You're not dealing with, you know, 55 football players and all that. So the rosters just aren't that big. So I don't think so. I'm excited about the Nets. You know, they lost that terrible heartbreaker to the T-Wolves and me and O talk about. They got lucky where they had three very easy games. I mean, then they got blown up by the Heat. Then they wound up playing back-to-back against Orlando, who's horrendous. And then they got to play the Cavs last night, who, you know, have some injuries and stuff, as do the Nets, but, you know, they beat up on the Cavs. So I like what I'm seeing out of the Knicks. I mean, the Nets. And we'll get to the Knicks just briefly. I mean, the Knicks are just cruising along. That first team in, I don't know, a couple decades that's won their first, start out 5-0 and won each of their games by double digits.
Yeah.
Now, would you identify yourself as a Knicks fan, Nets fan, neither?
I mean, I definitely got caught up in Linsanity. I know I got caught up when they made that run, and I think it was like 94, 93 maybe, when they had LJ and that whole crew. You know, if they get hot or whatever, then I jump on the swing. But, I mean, the same could be true for the Nets. Like, I don't want to be that one guy who can't pick a side, but.
Yeah, I mean, if you're not a huge basketball fan, like, I'm a big Nets fan, so I could never imagine myself rooting for the Knicks. But I know there's a lot of basketball is one of those sports that there are casual fans. It's not like a passionate football base. We could be, like, flip-flopping.
Yeah,
I could see that.
I mean, I definitely was pulling for the Nets in the two finals they were in.
Yeah.
You know, I was kind of amazed that they were even able to compete with the Shaq.
Yeah, man. I mean, it was exciting.
I don't know how they were able to pull that off. But
the only thing I'm a little surprised about is, you know, the Knicks fan base is supposedly the most loyal, one of the most loyal, similar to the – you know, the Giants, and that they're, you know, they're just super passionate, and the talk was always, you know, they've had these down years, but wait until they get good. The city, you know, they will be the story of the city. And they start out 5-0, where I just mentioned every game by double digits. They're not the story of the city right now. You listen to sports talk radio,
I think they'll everything is Tebow or Eli Sutton.
Yeah.
I think people are just in disbelief, and they're waiting for the downswing, you know?
I agree with you, and I'm waiting for it, too. I'm praying for it, because I hate the Knicks. But I'm surprised that it's not like all anyone, that there's not this huge Knicks. And maybe it is because it's still, you know, the heart of football season, and clearly, you know, we are a football nation. But the talk was always that New York can be a basketball town.
Yeah.
Did the Knicks get back to where they were in the 90s?
I think if you see, like, the Giants or Jets are eliminated from playoff contention,
yeah,
then you'll start to see the focus turns to the Knicks and Nets.
Yeah, I usually think basketball season starts on Christmas when they have the Christmas games, and you're really wrapping up the football season. You're looking into the playoffs, but Christmas is the day. So, you know, over the next month, maybe there'll be still motivation. They go into those Christmas games, and I don't know if they play on Christmas this year or not, but, you know, they'll get into that, and they're still doing what they're doing, and they're still atop the Eastern Conference or in the mix for a 1-2 seed type thing. Maybe we'll see. I'm just a little surprised. I thought it'd be a lot more buzz. But, you know, we'll get into a little bit of basketball a little bit later on. But let's get over to your New York football Giants quickly. You know, you and I talked, you called in last week. We talked about the Giants. We talked about Eli's struggles about, you know, at the time he's gone four games. He had two touchdowns, four picks. He goes out and throws up another stinker.
I mean, that was the worst game. And I think I texted you this during the game. I said, it's the worst I've seen him since his rookie year, which was 2004.
Worse than 2 years ago when he led the league in
absolutely, absolutely, because he's doing stuff that a rookie quarterback would do. That one pick he threw where he just kind of twirled around and just threw it with his like opposite hand or whatever.
That was like the story of his first couple like seasons. I mean, more than just his rookie year, I think. He was, and you know, when you get to Pinchas, Pinchas has seemingly reverted back to doing those same type things where you just forget where you are on the field and, like, what the moment is and everything.
Yeah.
Now, you know, 3 weeks ago, as recently as 3 weeks ago, Mike Greenberg said that Eli Manning was his MVP pick. All the talk about him being elite, possibly top three, going into the season after the 500-yard game, Mad Dog Russo went on talking about he's better than Drew Brees, and I went after him on Twitter, and he came back at me, and all of his fans started bashing me. Like, I had no idea what I was talking about. I really think, and I don't think he's as bad as he played, but I think that he is a good quarterback who last year had a great season. I really think that he's a very good quarterback. He's not as good as he was last year. That was an amazing season he put together. It seemed like every jump ball he threw, they came down with.
Yeah.
He didn't make those stupid mistakes that he's been making. But if you look at his career, I mean, he led the league in picks twice in his career already. he's only one back of the leader now, plus the fumble. I mean, he's on his way to leading the league in turnovers for a third time in his career. So this isn't something that he's not doing. His quarterback rating is 81. His career quarterback rating is around that. You have the stats up now. It's around 81, right?
Yeah.
I think it's
just because it's so hot or cold, if you will.
Like, yeah. He's always been that way, in my opinion. Other than last year, he put together a season that he wasn't like that. But the rest of his career, he's been like that.
Yeah.
He looks at times, he throws ducks, and you're like, how is that possible? And then he throws the most beautiful deep ball in the league.
Well, and you're like, he's been like that. It shouldn't surprise. I'm surprised at how surprised a lot of Giants fans are.
Yeah, I mean, it's really.
You probably watch. I watch just as many Giants games as you Jet games, so I see a lot of them.
Yeah, it's upsetting because I should expect this by now, and I should be totally used to it, but I'm not. You know, it's like every year they go off to this ridiculously awesome start.
Yeah.
You know, they go 5-2.
It is amazing how clockworkish it is.
Every year, September, October, they come out and rock it, and then like November comes and they're like, we're just going to take this month off.
Okay, we're all set.
Yeah, and then the
holiday preparations.
And then they storm back in December, exactly. And, 2010, they finished 10-6 and missed the playoffs. So who knows, if they had made the playoffs in 2010, that could have been another year where they just run the gamut and
yeah, right.
Playoffs. So they play it really dangerously. And, you know, as Colin Cowherd keeps saying, like, their best is better than everyone else's best.
I agree.
It's just that they just decide to play their best, like, once every, like,
but,
you know.
But, and I want to talk about that because you texted me during the game about some play calling issues. And I said a couple weeks ago that we can't question Kevin Gilbride after the success he's had.
Yeah.
But my thing is, exactly what they are. They're a big risk team. They're like a down the field team. They're like, you know, when we're at our best, you literally can't stop us.
Yeah.
But I haven't seen that from them. Like last week, they weren't taking those shots downfield. They weren't just taking the game, like just saying, okay, we're going to go for this here. We're going to take it over. It's like every time you assume they're going to throw, they run. When you assume, okay, now it's the time to pound it, they're doing the exact opposite. And it's not just about taking the big plays down the field. I'm surprised that right now, I mean, a seemingly healthy Matt Bradshaw, I know he got a little banged up last game, isn't getting a bigger workload. Like, you're still working.
As he goes and does what he did in this game. He fumbled the ball away on a drive that was huge, pivotal.
Yeah.
Down 24-6. There's still enough time
left. Almost lost me a fancy.
Yeah.
He had a -2, came close, but I pulled it out, though.
But, you know, they're down 24-6. There's enough time left where if they score on that drive, granted, they would not have scored a touchdown because they don't like touchdowns. But if they score on that drive, then they're still in the ballgame. They're still
and more than any other team, that's what the Giants think.
Yeah.
They're in it. They're striking this.
But as soon as he fumbled the ball and Cincinnati scored, they went 31-6. They said, this game is over. There's no chance that they come back from this. I don't care how much time is left. So
I blame a little bit on myself because I said 2 weeks ago that there's not a team in the league that makes fewer of those mistakes and capitalizes on the other team's mistakes more than they do. And that's why I think Kyle is such a good – because, you know, like I said, they always seem to get great breaks and all, but then you see the drop by Cruz on a perfectly thrown ball. He's leading the league in drops.
Yeah.
And then the fumble by Bradshaw. It's like that's not the strength of the Giants is that they don't make those mistakes and they could have the home runs in their pocket at all times, and they don't seem to be doing either one of those. Even in the games, you know, even in the games that they've won in this stretch, you know, the big play to Cruz to beat the Redskins, as much as it was a great, I mean, and again, they executed it, but that was a ridiculous coverage that the Skins were in. The game against the Cowboys, and I'm not even going to say anything about, I mean, clearly he was out of bounds, there's nothing about that, but the fact that they let him back in the game is the thing to me.
Well, what's crazy about the Cowboys game, the Steelers game, and Phil Simms said this on Boomer and Carton this morning, which I thought was ridiculous. He says that you got to put a lot of the onus on the defense. I almost took him down from icon legend status in my book because, if anything, the defense is the only thing that's kept these guys in these games. Because the offense has been absolutely
what's their big signature win of this year is against the 49ers. Their offense is terrible. They settled for field goals the whole time. The defense dominated that game. The defense gave them the game. Their signature win of the year.
Exactly. And I said this last week. You can only expect your defense to be so strong for so long. Because the more three and outs you go, they're going to get more tired.
Especially when your strength is the big fellas. Yeah.
Those are the guys that are going to wear down.
Yeah, and those are the guys that you need to come out firing on all cylinders. And when they're constantly on the field and you have the offense, it's in that hurry-up offense, you know, they're going to fall apart and they're going to allow stupid touchdowns. I mean, that first touchdown, A.J. Green, yes, that's squarely on the defense. Like, there's no reason for that to happen. Corey Webster, although he has a couple of interceptions this year, I mean, he's been burned real bad a lot of times. And I mean, I don't see him in a Giants jersey for much longer. But
can they give a lifetime contract out of Chase Blackburn on him? I mean, that guy, all he does is make big plays. He forced a turnover this week.
Exactly.
He's amazing.
Stuff the guy. I haven't seen a nice stick like that in a while. And,
he's amazing.
I don't know, but this is the kind of cut last year. I said, well, we'll bring you back out of the teaching ranks. And he just comes up and he's just, I mean, being a non-Giants fan but watching him, like, he would be my favorite Giant if I was a Giant fan.
Oh, yeah.
He's amazing. I told you, I have a friend who calls up Francesa every Monday after the Giants game and says, you know, Chase Blackburn, MVP. MVP, Chase Blackburn. And you got Mike Little.
Come on. What are we talking about?
But, so, the big question then is, but so, I guess, not to interrupt you, but, like, a lot of people are pushing the panic button. They're saying time to go into panic mode, but you know, it sucks that I keep thinking that the Giants should just break out of this funk because I know this is like what they do.
Yeah.
And you know, it's a situation where I'm not going to stand here and say they're going to make the playoffs because they did the same thing in 2010. They finished 10-6 and missed the playoffs.
Yeah.
They happen to get lucky, and people were like, well, they have such a commanding lead in the NFC East. You know,
it's a game and a half. It'll be a game after this week. I assume Dallas is going to beat the Browns this week.
Dallas put a pretty good effort out against Atlanta. They could have probably won that game.
100%.
They beat the Eagles in Philly. I mean, you know, who's to say that they don't just rattle off a handful of
wins? Here's the thing, and I know a lot of Giants fans are worried about it. I still think the Giants have 6 wins right now. I think 10 wins wins you the division because I don't see right now I assume they're going to win this week, the Cowboys. So that'll put them at 5-5. They have to go 5-1, and they still got to play the Saints. They got to play the Skins twice. It's hard to sweep any team in your division. You know, they still got to go out and play Philly again. They're not going to win all these games. I think they play Cincinnati. They're not going to win. They're going to lose some of those games. They're not going to rattle off 5-1. I don't think against them. So I think you know the Cowboys can get to 9 wins. I think. Probably more realistic, they're going to get to 8. Look, they got the Browns this week. You know, they got the Skins, the Eagles, Bengals, Steelers, Saints, and the Skins again. So, you know, you look at them like, oh, they're going to, you know, other than the Saints and Steelers, they're going to be favored in all those games. But, you know, you're not going to win all those games. They're just not. They're going to split against, I would say they're going to split against the Skins. They're going to split against, you know, there's a good chance they lose both the Saints and the Steelers. At minimum, you know, they're going to go 2-1. They're not going to sweep those 3 games.
Well, you still don't know about the Steelers. And I don't even know if you know you can have that much confidence in the Saints. Steelers, apparently, Roethlisberger's injury is, like, life-threatening.
Yeah, he's got the rib injury on top of the shoulder. Injury.
Right.
Yeah.
So who knows how he bounces back. He might be, like, a walking painkiller zombie when they play.
Yeah.
And then, you know, and they're a totally different team when Ben doesn't play. They're definitely not as good.
Yeah, right.
And the Saints, I mean, their defense is suspect. You know,
it's horrendous.
It's a team that you can throw on and throw on top of that. I think they're going to play in Dallas. So you take away the New Orleans home field advantage.
Yeah.
And, you know, we'll see with the Redskins. I mean, even if they split with the Redskins, the Eagles are a team that they're just in shambles.
They really are.
My
God.
Vic has a pretty significant concussion, according to Andy Reid.
Foles look atrocious. We're going to get into
that.
He looks really bad. Very inaccurate. We're going to get to the 4 quarterbacks that went down and their replacements going forward. But, yeah, I don't think it's a slam dunk for the Giants. But I still would feel pretty confident in the Giants going forward, getting to, 10 wins, getting to 9 wins could probably get you in still. I mean, I could see, you know, look, they got the Packers. They got
Ravens, Falcons, Eagles, Skins, Saints, Packers. I mean, that's just brutal.
It's brutal.
The Packers, and the Giants historically after bye weeks, I think, are pretty bad.
They're not going to beat the Packers. You know, will they go out and beat the Skins? I think they do. I think the Skins.
It's going to come. It might come down to tiebreakers, and thank God they won that game in Dallas because
they got swept. Well, that's the thing. Dallas kind of does control their own destiny. They can go out and sweep the three games they have left in their division. They'll have just the one.
They'll have a tiebreaker if they can beat the Eagles again. They'll have the tiebreaker with the Giants over the Eagles.
Yeah.
You know, and hope, and if they rattle off the two wins against the Redskins,
then they have the division record over them because they'll be 5-1. The Giants will have two
losses.
Exactly. That's what they do. So, yeah, I could see it. It'll be interesting. I'm glad it at least it's interesting because we have talked about that division being the best division possibly in football, and maybe the NFC North. But, you know, and then 3-4 weeks into the season, we're like, well, this division's the worst division.
Yeah.
And the team that we wrote off were the Cowboys.
Right. Right.
And now you're looking at them now, and you're like, well, the Skins have come back down to earth. You know, I think they're 3-6 now. The Philly is in disarray. And you look at the Cowboys, and you say, well, man, if they could ever win these close games, if they could ever just figure out ways to win games that they're in, then, yeah, then they're a tough team. But it'll be exciting. You know, I wish that they hadn't played – Nine at night, you wish that the schedule didn't work out when they played both of those games. Like, it'd be great if they were ending with the Cowboys, or you know, at least a game late in December against the Cowboys.
And the Redskins, I mean, you know, they a lot of people have them count them out. They have pretty much all division games left. Like
yeah.
they have to play the Eagles twice, the Cowboys twice, and then the Giants again. Who knows what happens in those games? Who knows what kind of injuries go down? I mean,
yeah.
you know, the Eagles should just decide that their season's over. So.
You would have put a percentage on the Giants making the playoffs.
I told you.
They're going to have to win the division. I don't think they're going to get in the wild card.
Yeah. I mean,
they're going to have to win the division.
Exactly.
So what are their percentage? I mean, I'm putting the Giants winning the division at, I'm going to give you an over-under, 75%.
Under
75%? Are you one game lead right now?
Yes, they were 7-7.
They had 1.5 game lead.
They're 7-7 last year, going the last 2 weeks, and they had like a 20-some-odd percent chance of making the playoffs. And, you know, they had a lot of luck go their way.
Yeah.
Over the last, I mean, like, JPP block. I mean,
yeah.
You know, there was a lot of situations that the ball bounced their way, and you can't count on that happening again.
Yeah. No, I know. I still just think I look at the Giants and say, you know, they're going to go through this little swoon. They're going to lose to the Packers, and they're going to be complete panic mode.
Right.
That's the beauty of the NFL. You play once a week, so it seems like
exactly.
It's so long ago we won a game, and you're like, oh, my God. And you're like, all right. But, you know, I still would feel pretty confident. Not like it's a slam dunk like we thought 3 weeks ago, but I feel pretty confident. More so that I just don't think that the Cowboys have it in them to go out and win 10 or 11 games. And so the Giants are already at a 6. They win 3 games.
I have them going 3-4 the rest of the way, going 9-7, and it really just falls on how the rest of the division plays, because who knows what kind of trickery the Skins will come out and maybe they there's a mutiny and they decide, you know what, we're gonna play our asses off because Shanahan sucks.
Yeah.
And we're just gonna show him what's up and then
yeah.
he's on a tear. So
well, I'm gonna steal one of your, you're normally the segue guy, but we just talked percentages. The percentage of a team starting 3-6 and making the playoffs is about just a shade under 2%.
Is that right?
So the Jets have just about a 2% chance. I would take the under on that. I'd take the under on the 2%.
Well, you figure the 1%ers, they always come out on top. So.
Those 1%ers, man, you know what I mean? Not a lot of 1% at the Jets game.
Right.
But, yeah, I mean, the Jets are just – you know what? Why don't I go fix up the drink? I'm going to let you, because just in that little bit of time, I started getting angry.
Yeah.
And so I'm going to just, you know, take it back down to 6. Go fix myself a cocktail. You had a birthday last week.
Yeah.
A nice cocktail, a couple of gentlemen.
Right.
And we'll talk about the Jets. Now, why don't you just start going over your thoughts, non-Jet fan, but not a Jet hater. What the hell is going on? And I almost swore, but I'm thinking about my cocktail.
Well, you know, I got to commend you. I'm very impressed with your ability to stay optimistic considering everything that's gone on. I know that last week you asked for my opinion. You asked if you should be concerned, and I said, hell yes. You know, they have yet to, since that Bills game where they came out and they just looked so good, they've yet to establish a rhythm. They, you know, Sean Green hasn't been able to pick up the pace. We're still waiting on this,
like secretive Wildcat package that that they installed in spring and in summer camp that it was very hush hush. We haven't seen any of that. And you know, I know Tim Tebow is a horrible passer. We all know that. But let him throw a ball per game. Because they're, every time he comes in, it's a run up the middle for 2 yards. I mean, okay, so now the point where, you know what, all right, we're 3-6, now we unleash the beast maybe, and now we go on the run because now we're basically almost mathematically eliminated. Maybe it's time to just let him throw the ball. And, you know, what's not surprising is that you have these Jets players, anonymous Jets players that are coming out now.
A dozen of them
saying that he's terrible. Yeah, we knew he was terrible in practice.
Yeah, right.
But that's practice. Allen Iverson is over in the corner shaking his head.
Well, we're talking about practice.
The guy's a gamer, and you have to let him do his thing during the game. You can't just run these horrible quarterback draws.
They finally let him throw.
He had 3 attempts. Completed all 3 for 8 yards. Every one of them. Every one of them. That little flop screen is Aaron Nicole. It was just like a little. And,
right.
And then in one of them, the guy, they jumped it and he had to tuck it down and get a first down. It almost, in watching the Jets offense, it's like a guy you're playing Madden against and just picking plays like, you know, oh, this play popped up and we'll just
right.
pick this play. It's just amazing how bad of a play caller.
Oh, yeah.
Sperano. Because if you look at Tim Tebow's successful passes, and there weren't many last year.
Mm-hmm.
They were mid to deep level routes.
He throws a good deep ball.
He throws
because
a pretty
he's
decent.
Playing quarterback. I mean, it's actually an easier pass to throw than any kind of cross.
Yeah,
pass.
I mean, you just got to lead him out there and he'll run
yeah,
after it.
Which
and
is
so,
the thing that you've thrown every day since you were 6 years old. You
right.
know, he's got to go deep. So he could throw a good deep ball. The only time he throws a spiral.
Yeah, and I mean, I think it's just amazing to me that the level of play calling when he's in the game, he comes in and everyone in the bar was like, this is a run. It's a run. And, you know, throwing these short little flash patterns because you're concerned or worried about, you know, don't be.
Yeah, right.
You know, if anything right now, they should be freewheeling and just playing with reckless abandon.
Exactly. And for the coaching staff to have all this, you know, basically saying we don't think Tim Tebow, you couldn't be really playing much worse than Mark Sanchez. You couldn't. I mean,
I'm not Tim Tebow, apparently.
The only quarterback I can think of off the top of my head, maybe 2 quarterbacks in the league playing worse than him are Whedon and maybe Blaine Gabbert. You know, like, but he's as bad as you're playing. So if this performance through 9 games isn't bad enough to get benched, that's how bad you think this guy is. So in my mind, in my like maybe political type mind, I say, well, what the Jets should then do. If they want to prove to everybody, is now in the media at least, most Jet fans still don't want to see Tebow. They're in agreement with me that Sanchez's his career with the Jets is coming to an end.
Yeah.
But they're not Tebow guys. Let Tebow go in and throw the ball. And if he worst case scenario, he throws picks, and then you look like geniuses. I told you.
Right.
I told you.
Exactly.
You said he's going to be bad. We threw the ball, I threw a pick. Best case scenario, it works out.
Yeah.
So it's like at this point, like you said, you got to sit there and play. Look, they need this win.
Yeah,
the fact that they're underdogs to the Rams right now shows you where their season's at right now.
Well, the Rams are a crazy team as well. I mean, it's just typical NFL nonsense.
Yeah, well, they were the sexy pick last year, and they were horrible.
Right.
And this year, everybody doubted them, and, you know.
Yeah, but, I mean, you look, they played, they went toe-to-toe with the Niners.
Should have won that game. Yeah, should have won that game.
Exactly. So,
yeah.
I mean, you know, it's hard to say which team you're going to get from week to week, but, you know, they can go out this week and lay an egg against the Jets and get rocked and get blown out. So
yeah, well, that's the thing. I mean, the Jets, like we talked about last week, you look at their 3 wins, they look great against the Bills, who are not a bad team. I mean, they had every chance to beat the Pats.
They were honest. They were driving, and just you saw the one pass, the last pass that Fitzpatrick was like, I'm just going to throw this as hard as I can,
yeah.
And hopefully it lands in the right hand.
Just hold down the button and throw it in the hand. It goes down. That's what happens. It's another Madden reference. But, you know, the Colts right now are playoff team. The season we're in, the Colts are a playoff team, and they destroyed the Colts.
Yeah.
And then they beat the, you know, Miami down in Miami, and then it looks terrible. So as bad as they are talent-wise, there is enough in there that they could win games. They have playmakers on defense, not just defenders that, you know, can defend, but can make plays and turn the game around. And that's the only reason they scored last week was a defensive touchdown.
Right.
So they do have playmakers. There are ways for them to win, even though they have huge deficiency, really on both sides of the ball, but mostly on offense. There are ways they could win. But so it's just like, man, they got to just play, like you said, reckless abandon, just sit there and make plays. Now,
there's two ways
there's two ways that most coordinators go about it, right? They either really dumb down the offense and go basic, simple base offense, which I don't think that's going to help them at this point.
No.
Or they just open up the playbook and start doing all this trickeration that they were talking about at the beginning.
That's the thing. I don't think that those types of plays exist in their playbook, because if you haven't called them out now, think about it. Tony Spread has never been an offensive coordinator in his life. In his life.
Yeah.
So it's like the idea that he now is this, you know, is Chip Kelly and is going to have all these crazy plays in his head, you know, they don't exist. He was an offensive line coach.
Yeah.
You know, and so – and then, so I think that Rex Ryan fell in love with him because he almost had this a mirror image of Rex Ryan, where but on the offensive end, like he believes in the trenches, and he's a, you know, he's a guy that swears a lot in practice, and is a rah-rah yeller guy, you know what I mean? It's like, oh, you know, they're buddies. I could see them getting hammered together at the Periodic Bar and Grill if they're ever in town.
Right,
love
yeah.
to have them both. I'm sure they're great. Tony Sperano's from Connecticut, but it's like he has no. It's not even about offensive creativity, as much as it is, I really don't think he understands how to be an offensive coordinator in the NFL.
Yeah.
And you know, he had a great interview, supposedly. You know, I actually, and people laughed at me when I suggested on the message board last year, middle of the season, and you knew March was on his way out. Mike March is with him. You need somebody like that,
right,
who is really an offensive genius. He can say what you want about your quarterback to take a hit. He puts up numbers everywhere he goes.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, you know, he was with Denver, right?
He was with the Bears.
I mean,
Chicago.
Yeah.
He was with the Bears. But, you know, obviously he put up crazy numbers at all three stops he's had. And so you look at him and you say, why wouldn't you go and get somebody like that instead of a guy who's never – you have your weakness is your offense. And then you bring in an offensive coordinator who's never been an offensive coordinator.
It's like he's calling plays to protect their weaknesses instead of calling plays that highlight their strengths.
Yeah,
it's like you got to really sit down with each of these players, and you got to you say to them, okay, well, what can you do well? What do you do well? And let's cater to those to those kind of players. Either that, or you got to start combing your practice squad. There's some guy who's just like all out, just athlete who just didn't. Who's like, you know, an Andrew Hawkins type of guy on Cincinnati. Who's like maybe 5'7", doesn't have the size, but he's quick as hell.
You know what I think about is, and you probably don't even know him, but David Clowney was on the Jets for probably 3 or 4 years. He'd be a guy, and you'd see him in the preseason, and he'd make these plays, almost like Victor Cruz-like, like preseason, and you're like, but he never panned out. And I remember him on Hard Knocks. He was always, like, lazy on special teams, and Westhoff hated him, and, like, if you're not going to play special teams, you're not going to make the team. But, you know, bounced back and forth from the practice squad, and he's gone. But he had that potential to be a big-time player. I mean, Chaz Schoen is a joke. Hill is a joke, both of them. Jeremy Curley is – could be, I think, a real playmaker, but he's not a number one. He's a short guy like you're talking about. I mean, he is a guy in an offense. You put Jeremy Curley on the Giants, he puts up big numbers.
Yeah.
Honestly, I mean, I really think that. He's a guy who can make plays, but he's not a guy who could be your number one split out type guy. You know, I mean, he's a lesser Victor Cruz type guy where you need him in the slot. He can make plays with the balls in his hands. He makes people miss.
I know I bring this up a lot, but, like, when Cotchery, it's like, I don't know how they can let him get away.
100%. You watch him the other night in the primetime game.
He just always seems to come up with big catches when they need him, and, you know, it just doesn't.
Never drop balls from precise routes.
Yeah.
Caught balls in traffic. I mean, you know, and they, it was either Joe and Evan or one of the shows on The Fan the last couple weeks, and they asked him, and, you know, was it bitter? And he took the high road kind of, but you could tell he was bitter. But you know, that's how that ended. I mean, you know, he out, I think they got him in the fourth round when they got him, and he way outperformed the fourth round pick. You know, I still think it comes down to Mark Sanchez. I think that, you know, I sat and gave him the benefit of the doubt for a year and a half now, based on the fact that what he's done in the playoffs for them is not a fluke. You don't have those kind of numbers over a six-game span on the road in the playoffs and not have talent. But he just looks completely lost. And two games in a row where he's cost them by fumbling while he's clearly a set, clearly a breakdown on the blocking team. And, you know, he did it against the pass also in overtime. It's like he didn't talk. You could see him trying to get rid of the ball while he's getting sacked, and it'll never work, Mark.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's not – you're not Ben Roethlisberger who could break those type of things, or you're not Brett Favre.
I was just about to say, it's crazy watching Ben Roethlisberger because he has that
He's so elusive. It's crazy because he looks like he can't move. He's a big power forward. He's just got soft little feet. He's like, you know, he's Zach Randolph.
Yeah.
Where he's just, he looks like he's a big fat guy. But he's.
But how much of that, and I think I said this before, but how much of that is you place on the offensive line for creating a somewhat of a decent pocket? You know, I feel like with Sanchez, he doesn't get enough of a pocket to move around and make moves. And, you know, maybe.
I agree, but at this point, he's so skittish. And you've played quarterback, and I played quarterback. And so once you start, like, the beginning of the season, quarterbacking is pretty easy. Like, you're like, you haven't taken hits yet. You have all these odd things. As the season drags on, and it's like, man, every time I take this five-step drop, there's somebody right in my face.
Right.
You start thinking that before you take the snap.
Yeah.
And it's like he's doing that. And when he does have time, he's so indecisive. And the pick that he threw, I'm watching with my buddy Paco, big Jets fan, friend of the show. He's called in a lot of times to talk gambling, to talk sports. And I said to him, I said, I guarantee you he throws a pick here. You could ask him. I said, I guarantee you he throws a pick here. And as the more times, I mean, he pump faked three times, and the ball left his hand, you can't throw a ball floated towards the timeline like that and not think that's going to get picked. And it just, it was a microcosm. That whole drive was a microcosm of their entire season. They get down and they have first and goal from the 3-yard line. They bring in Tim Tebow, false start, push him back 5 yards. Now all of a sudden, and then all of a sudden now it's second and 8. And then it's third and 5 from the 5, and he goes to pick. It's like, you know, man, it's like they either make a bad play like Sanchez did, they make a mental mistake like Dustin Keller did with the false start. It's like, man, they're just so far away from being any semblance of a decent team at this point. And so and it comes down to Sanchez. He has to be playing flawless football right now. He's got no weapon. His offensive line has been a big disappointment. But that being said, there's never an excuse to make the two mistakes he made. Throwing that pick and then the fumble. It wasn't a fumble. He got blindsided. He was getting hit.
Yeah.
And he decided to try to get rid of the ball. And you're like, what are you doing?
Yeah. I mean.
So who's to blame the most? Is it Rex Ryan? I mean, everybody's starting to turn on Rex Ryan now. Especially today with all the stuff coming out of the locker room where everybody hates Tebow and all this, you know, to have a dozen guys. And, you know, I'll be – last year when all the unnamed people came out, it was Manish Mehta again. I was like, this guy, I think he's just BS-er. But he's got a pretty high profile guy. He wouldn't risk his whole career with a completely BS story. He might have elaborated some things that they said. But clearly he's just capturing the mood in that locker room, what's going on.
Yeah,
and everybody's
a lot of dissent. You know, I just thought maybe it's a cast of characters that just can't gel. You know, that maybe it's the personalities in that locker room are just unable to come together and really bond. And, you know, that goes a long way.
Yeah.
You know, you can have a bunch of superstars in that locker room, but if they're not on the same page and if, you know, they don't believe in you know, I know it's professional sports and that he's a grown man and, you know, it's more of a college rah-rah mentality that I'm talking about. But, man, there's got to be a common purpose. There's got to be someone that if someone gets up in that locker room and starts, you know, barking and going nuts. And like, where is Bart Scott?
Well, he's just a terrible football
player. Where is someone like Bart Scott to come and kick someone in the pants and say, hey, forget the fact that Tim Tebow is a Jesus freak or you know, obviously don't want to come out and start calling out players, but you want to hint at certain things. Like, this is the kind of stuff that tears a team down and that ruins seasons. We're not out of it. We have plenty of games to play. Who knows what happens down the road?
Yeah, you look at the playoff hunt right now. You look at the – I mean, a wild card is going to come out of the AFC with 9 wins, which gives even the Jets leeway. They could lose the past game and still make it at 9-7. They really can. You know, they got the tiebreaker against the Colts. They beat the Colts. The Colts are good right now with 3 losses. It's not like the season is over mathematically for them because
you look at the playoff picture. We have it up on my screen right now.
Yeah.
The Dolphins, Chargers, Bengals, and Titans are currently ahead of the Jets right now.
Yeah.
In terms of
getting in
the Colts, the Colts right now have the last spot. The Colts are playing well, but again, we've seen them play like Dookie.
Yeah.
The Dolphins are question mark. The Chargers, who knows? They play really well in December, so they might come out of nowhere. And the Bengals, obviously, are way better than that 4-5 record, in my opinion.
Yeah, I mean, the Bengals were a team I thought we went through teams that missed, that made the playoffs out there and going to miss, and I thought the Bengals were going to be one of them. But you're right. I mean, they got talent. They got a good defense. They got a quarterback who's young and is going through, you know, a little sophomore slump. But last game against the Giants, actually the first game, he didn't throw a pick all year, but he went through four touchdowns against a very good defense.
I mean, Chiefs are 1-8, and they stuck it to the Steelers on Monday night.
100%. So, and you look at what's going on with the two wild card teams right now, Steelers and Colts.
This is a team that I think is going to fall apart.
Well, yeah, Big Ben. I we went through our top five rankings, and people killed me for putting Big Ben ahead of Eli. But I think Big Ben is more important. If I'm starting a team, I'm picking Big Ben over Eli. I just think that you'll see. Time will tell what will happen, and especially if he's out for a really extended period of time, and maybe the season, you could see that number come falling. I mean, they're 6-3 now. You could see that season kind of spiraling. With their injuries in their backfield, you know, Mendenhall still not back. I know Redmond's been playing well. I mean, there are chances for them. But then, I'm not even, as the most optimistic fan in the world, I'm not even holding out hope, really. When you got Rex Ryan crying in the locker room. Crying.
Yeah.
What would have worked for Ryan?
Yeah.
You got,
Rex Ryan.
12 guys bashing the back of quarterback who has, I mean, granted, we all were against the move. That move has nothing to do with this. He's done nothing wrong. He's not been bitching. He's not been complaining about anything.
Yeah, I mean, you're putting him in positions on the field that he's never played before.
No, yeah, right.
Line protector. Yeah. You know, it's like, you know, he's got they're throwing a lot at him.
If anything, they would not have beaten the Dolphins if it wasn't for him being in there for the fake punt, getting that first down, and they go down and march down the field. They don't win that game without him. So right away, he's got one win. That's more wins than I could think of Mark Sanchez winning the team for that. You know what I mean? Name another backup quarterback who's taken meaningless snaps all year that you could say he won a game for them. So I thought the move was stupid. I don't think he's a good quarterback, but he has nothing to do with it. It's completely to do with the fact that Mark Sanchez is completing 52% of his passes, averaging 5 yards an attempt. They have no running game like they used to always have, and their defense can't get off the field on third down. They have so many weaknesses. The team hates each other. Correct. Ryan's crying.
But you know what? The cure is that winning. Just win.
That's why
he is, you know, Al Davis.
I was so stupidly confident in this week. I know everything was stacked against them. They don't play well on the West Coast. That's a very tough place to play out in Seattle. Their defensive backs are big and strong. Again, the wide receivers, and their wide receivers literally, it's like they've never been taught how to get off the line of scrimmage. I mean, they don't get off the line of scrimmage at all.
Those D-backs, though, for Seattle, I mean, they're both like
6'3",
6'4".
They're safe,
I mean, they're just big dudes that just can manhandle wide receivers, especially the Jets that don't really have a big guy.
They got a Hill who got two passes thrown his way. He was 0-2, didn't catch the ball. He's their one big guy, but he can't get off the line of scrimmage.
Yeah.
So you look at him and you're like, I had a very good feeling that, okay, Jets lost one of the games that they were supposed to win. But they're going to go steal this one. I mean, before the season, I figured they would lose that game. They're going to go out to Seattle and win in Seattle. But I was like, they're going to steal one of these games that they were supposed to lose. And I thought it'd be this. And they just came out with nothing. And it was just disgusting to watch. It was just like, you could see in the second quarter, I said to the talk, I said, the only way they're going to score is the defense scores. And they scored within 5 minutes. And then it was like, all right, we got to hope that something happens. They get a turnover and they get the ball really close. And Nick Paul can kick one through and win 10-7.
Yeah.
It was just a very, very disappointing weekend. And it's good.
For New York football in general.
Really was. And then going
happy birthday, Neil, by the way.
Happy birthday, Neil.
Here's an awful weekend of football.
Wild. Yeah, Neil spent Monday and it's dead.
Yeah.
Chinese food.
Yeah.
But expanding out quickly to the rest of the NFL, 4 high-profile quarterbacks went down this week. 3 of them with concussions. You had Al Smith, Jay Cutler, Michael Vick, Big Ben. All went down. You know, I know Big Ben's definitely not playing. Vic's definitely not playing. So you look at the 4 guys that are filling in for him. You got Jason Campbell out in Chicago. He's played in the NFL. He's had some decent success. I mean, he's not been he's not a bust of a quarterback. He's had success. You got Byron Leftwich, same thing. I mean, I guess disappointing coming out as a first round pick out of Marshall, but he has had success in the NFL. Again, then you got Nick Foles, who I thought looked atrocious, but everybody who seemingly is in the know loved this guy and calling for him to start over Michael Vick anyway.
Yeah.
And then you got Kaepernick, who is that, has that little bit of it factor to him where you're like, this guy maybe can do some things that clearly Alex Smith can't do with his legs.
Well, he's just way more athletic. I mean, he's able to make people miss. He's got a strong arm and he can run. And, you know, it's just that he's a physical specimen. And,
he really is.
You know, it seems to me like he's going to be the future of the 49ers and that they're kind of slowly, you know, pushing Alex Smith out the door. I mean, he wasn't exactly – they weren't welcoming him back with open arms.
They were stopping around. But, yeah, what's weird is it goes against what I would think of like a Harbaugh-type plan. You know, basically they just asked Alex Smith last year not to lose games for him, put him in position, put him in the throws that he could make, did very well. But I was surprised in the game when I was at the game when they – you know, when San Francisco came to town, Kaepernick scored. And I'm like, I didn't realize they had this real aspect of the game that they were incorporating, like, oh, this is what Tim Tebow is supposed to be. And so they were almost starting to go in that direction. He was getting plays. He was getting significant plays as it was. And so you look at him, and, you know, I don't know what kind of thrower he is, really. And I didn't get to watch that game. It wasn't televised until it got to overtime. So of the four quarterbacks, which one of them gives their team the best chance to win?
I mean, we already said that the Steelers without – I don't care who they have a quarterback going –
it's clearly a big drop-off.
It's clearly a big drop-off, and, you know, Leftwich wasn't exactly tearing it up as a starter. I don't know that he was that –
just had this lowest promotion.
Yeah, it was like, all right, there we go. Get it out of the hands. You know, I think with Foles, Philly just saw a guy, a quarterback that they've never really had in their system before, right? You look at the quarterbacks over the years, and, you know, maybe reminiscent a little bit of Randall Cunningham minus the scrambling in terms of his physical stature, but just a big dude who everyone thought had this really strong arm that can just, you know, make better decisions with the ball than Vic. I mean, the Eagles fans got to the point where they're like, anybody can be better than Michael Vick because he can't hold on to the ball. He's a turnover machine.
It's amazing,
So despite the
three a game or whatever
despite the physical gifts that Michael Vick has and the ability to shake tacklers and make moves and, you know, whatnot, he just makes poor decisions and he can't hold on the ball. So at that point, it's like, you know, I could go out there and I got fans chanting my name. So
I know. I don't want to be too quick to judge because, I mean, we watched a half of – it's really the only time I've ever watched Nick Foles play quarterback. He didn't look good. But I'm not, you know, naive enough to say, okay, well, now he's not good because his first half ever was bad against the Dallas Cowboys, who do have six extremely talented corners. Now, you know, they added two in the offseason. So you look at him, you're like, I'm not going to snap the judgment and just say, well, I saw him for two quarters, and now I know who Nick Foles is.
Yeah.
But of the four, I think he's going to do the worst of the four, I think.
Well, yeah, because he has the least experience.
He has the least experience, and I think, you know, to ask him to come and take over that team right now, I could see DeSean Jackson completely tapping out of the season.
For me, it was tough to tell with Jason Campbell, too, because those elements were horrible.
Yeah, you couldn't tell that at all. But I honestly think that I saw glimpses of Jason Campbell – with his different stops, where you're like, okay, this guy could play.
Yeah.
I really think he could play. He wasn't, you know, he wasn't playing bad in Oakland. He wasn't horrible with the Redskins. He was on a bad team. It's not like, you know, I could see him doing okay. And as far as like a drop-off, I mean, Cutler has lost in the games. Cutler clearly is a better quarterback 100%.
Right.
But it's like, I don't see Jason Campbell being the kind of guy that also loses games.
Right.
He might go out there and win a game. But the Bears don't need a quarterback right now that can go out and win a game.
Exactly, yeah.
So he might be the guy, I think.
They need to go into, like, Baltimore Ravens mode from 2000, where it's just like
the defense will outscore their offense.
The defense will definitely outscore their offense. And Jason Campbell just has to make, you know, smart decisions with the football, and then they'll win and, you know, probably beat the Giants.
I honestly think that that's not the worst thing in the world. The Byron Leftwich thing out in Pittsburgh, clearly it's a big drop-off, and clearly – Ben, I don't know that he's even asked to do it or he just does it because, I mean, he makes more plays out of broken plays than anybody. So it's like he's that kind of guy, and Byron Leftwich is too big and fat to ever do that. But he's got a big-time arm. They have speed demons.
They have amazing wide receivers, yeah.
So maybe you'll see them doing some different things. Throwing the ball just straight down the field.
Trying to get them in the open field with the ball because, I mean, that one play – Mike Wallace against the Giants. It was everyone thought it was a fast forward.
Yeah, no, he's ridiculous. He said he's never lost a race in his life, and he would beat Usain Bolt too.
I'd love to see him go up against Chris Johnson, because Chris Johnson says he can run a sub 440. So
yeah, that's right. Yeah,
Chris, put on sunglasses and we'll do this.
Let's do this up nice. But yeah, but it'll be interesting to see how long any of these guys are out. It looks like Big Ben's out for a while, which is a big deal, you know, because that defense is not what the defense was in the past. And so, you know, that's a big deal. But I think Byron Leftwich can keep them in games and could throw the ball down the field. So we'll see. I don't know.
Yeah.
And I think Mike Tomlin is one of the best coaches. I put him in my top three last week. So.
No, I agree. And, you know, I mean, it's tough to say with the Eagles. And it's between the Steelers and the Bears. But I feel like the Bears, they're going to try and lean on Matt Forte, maybe force the ball to Brandon Marshall, because really, offensively, when you look at their weapons, like, I talked to a couple Bears fans last year, and I was like, yeah, what do you get, Devin Hester? He's like, the guy's dumb as rocks and can't run routes, and, you know, he only runs goes, and even then he can't catch the ball. So it's like, you know, they're limited in their options, whereas, you know, with Cutler back there, even though he makes some risky throws, he's got that gunslinger mentality where he can stick throws where no one else can.
Yeah.
And
look, when you're a professional athlete with a double chin, it gives you like an edge. It's like, you know what? I don't care. I got a double chin. And I'm not going to like give myself a little half beard to straighten out my jawline. I don't care. I'll just grow a neck beard and show it off. I don't care.
Exactly.
So, you know what? Just to go quickly back to the Jets and tie it into what we're talking about here, but I put on the Facebook wall a couple days ago that I think a realistic thing for the Jets to do is to go out and trade, put a package together to trade Mark Sanchez to Seattle for Matt Flynn. Matt Flynn's being paid a lot of money. Clearly, Russell Wilson is the quarterback of the future there. You can't continuously pay a back quarterback that much money for their length of time. With Mark Sanchez, he's owed a lot of money, but they might be able to package him with a pick or something, get him out there, get him back out with Pete Carroll. There's still talk on the phone all the time.
Yeah.
I could see that happening. Logically, that kind of makes sense. I know a couple people were like, the Jets are so far away from being good that, like, Matt Flynn's not the type of quarterback going to come in and win games. So I kind of agree with that to an extent. Like, okay, they need to break things up and draft a quarterback. Still, they're going to need somebody that's a quarterback next year. I'm starting – my wheels are starting to turn. I'm not that far away from believing the starting quarterback, game one of the Jets next year, is going to be Michael Vick.
Oh,
I'm telling you, just start putting.
Are you doing this for the ratings?
Start putting the.
Are you nearly like a shock job now?
Start, you know, it's like beautiful mind. Like all these numbers are like flying. So just start putting the pieces together. They're gonna stick with Tebow for another year, so he'll be their backup. Now when Tebow comes in, it's not a whole new offense because Vic's gonna have that little run aspect to it. So now you don't know what's going on. They want another splash. Ooh, we got Michael Vick. You know whatever. I'm telling you, I'm not far away from legitimately saying, okay, Michael Vick is going to be our starting quarterback next year.
It's going to
– you know it's not that far away from happening, dude.
It's going to look like a glitch in the video in Madden because you're going to have, like, Vick at wide out. You have Cromartie at quarterback and, like, Tebow at tight end. Like, ugh.
Imagine the conversation between Tim Tebow and Mike Vick.
Yeah.
Just redemption. And I know he's not a Catholic. He's not doing, like, confession. But it'll be whatever they do in his Protestant year.
Yeah, I think, like, the Jets just have to start watching post-game conferences. And anyone that thanks God, you sign them the next week.
Yeah.
Trades.
You get them in there.
You get a holy team together.
That's what they have to do.
They have to just
It'll work well in New York.
Yeah, Jesus. Yeah.
We're so religious up here in the Northeast. But I'm telling you, you think I'm crazy? You think it's that out insane to think that Michael Vick's going to be the quarterback next year?
Ugh.
He's going to be out the door. Nick Foles comes in, shows enough. They're like, okay,
yeah,
you got to turn the page on Michael Vick. Oh,
well,
we got the Asian guy. We'll get him cheap.
I mean,
we'll be able to unload a Mark Sanchez's contract somewhere.
I guess I wouldn't put it past them, but man, they've already like invited so much criticism with Tebow.
They're double going to double down.
Double down. Yeah.
Sometimes you just got to double down.
I got a house still.
Red hasn't come up in 14 spins. It's got to come up. Give me $1,000.
Oh.
I can make it all back. That's the thing. We can make it all back.
Right.
Everybody forget about everything. Yeah. Michael Vick in here. He runs really fast. Cover man. Something. I don't know. That's my prediction. Now, why don't we take things down a different path and do a little dude, are you serious? Dave, you called in last week. It worked out well.
Yeah, O was a big fan.
O was a little uncomfortable with some of the Dave talk, but why don't you give us some Due to You Serious?
Now, this is, I wish Tony D was here to
Tony D, and I think he's on special operations somewhere with JC.
Yeah. I think Tony D might be, like, you know, getting his guerrilla warfare on right now, because he has a situation on his hands involving one of his top one ladies. He's got to be top dog in his little
henhouse. He, in his mind, he just wants to run away to, like, a little, we'll just get out of the way to a cabin somewhere and just learn about each other.
We'll have a goal in the backyard.
Connected. Yes,
so I just found this out last night at, like, 2 in the morning when I got home. Apparently, Hope Solo and former Seattle Seahawks tight end Jeremy Stevens,
who used to be a big talker back in his days,
are like gonna get married. And apparently, according to this report from Big League Doc, the BigLeague.com, they got married Tuesday night, 2 days after he was arrested for allegedly assaulting her over where they should live. Florida or Washington? That's a big decision.
Or Norwalk. Maybe they were talking Norwalk.
Yeah, exactly.
He was a little questionable about the school.
But, you know, Jeremy's had a suspect past. I mean, he's been accused of everything in the book. Huge criminal past. And we know... Huge criminal past. Massive.
What are they throwing, a West Side thing?
West Side and...
Oh, God, I can't stand this lady.
Oh, Tony, come to your senses. She's horrible. They've only been dating for, like, 2 months.
Yeah. Oh, you did.
So, I mean, if there was any question whether she likes it rough between the sheets, I mean, this is like, that answer is an affirmative. Absolutely.
He's a big dude because she's like 6 feet, right? She's a big lady.
She's a big lady.
He towers over her. Yeah, I saw it last night, the Interabang, which is Ron and Fez's Twitter account. They posted it, and I retweeted it to Tony and to try to say sports guys about this. But I think it got dropped or something. She basically was like, no, I didn't really hit me or something, or... And they got married.
Yeah.
So,
Well, when the call was made and the cops came, police found Stevens hiding in an upstairs bedroom between the bed and the wall where he claims he was sleeping.
Well, that's where he likes to rest.
He likes the burrito. You ever do that? The wall burrito?
I have not.
Super comfy. I've done it.
It sounds great for that.
He had blood on his shirt, and Solo reportedly had a cut in her elbow. And that was enough to cuff him, book him, Dano. I mean, this is like...
I mean, I don't want to laugh at any of this. It's horrible, but...
It's a whirlwind romance.
But they're in love.
Yeah, there's nothing you can do. I mean, there's no control over love. You can't control love.
A lot of emotions going on.
But
Solo, you're the worst. Tony D, I know you love her, but...
Man, she's horrible.
Jeremy Stevens...
Yeah, like, come on, dude. Yeah. Like, he's not even on a team right now.
No.
If you're going to go criminal, go active, you know?
Yeah.
Go with someone who...
There's plenty of them. Pac-Man Jones had a great game against the Giants.
Dez Bryant, up-and-coming criminal.
Well, yeah. His career criminal path is on the upside. I mean, what's he got left? You know what I'm saying?
Oh, my God. So, I'm still single. I feel like I should start just breaking the law. Just
exactly. You're way too clean cut. When you came back, you look clean cut.
It's not going to fly, dude. All right, we've seen this before, but it never ceases to amaze me. A high school quarterback threw for 837 yards and 10 touchdowns in a 104-80 victory. I mean, the NBA can't even reach those numbers these days.
No. A 184 over-under is about the average, I'd say, right now. And so the 184... total points is ridiculous.
35 of 42.
He's a high school kid? Look at the size of that kid. Come on. His forearms are as big as that football.
Yeah, it makes me It makes me think that if I got a really good makeup artist, I could probably enroll back at NDHS.
Yeah.
I have dreams about this every night.
Listen, I know the coach in North Carolina. I can tell that team. They could use your skills.
A really good pocket packer.
I'm the biggest Norwalk football supporter there is. We've had Coach Ireland on. We've done fundraisers for the Alumni Association. I'm pretty sure Norwalk has not scored 104 points on the season.
Yeah.
I don't think they have. I mean, Coach Ireland, if you're listening, call in and dispute that. But 104 points in one game, it's just ridiculous. That's ridiculous.
Yeah, and this was...
He's only a junior.
He's only a junior.
North Carolina. Swing state.
We're going to go from amazing stats to amazing phobias.
Yeah.
I've never heard of this phobia, but apparently...
You got any phobias? Beforehand? You got any of them?
Yeah.
Spiders?
Commitment.
Hey, you.
No, I really don't.
Me,
I mean, no, I do. Yeah, I do. I fear everything.
No, I don't. I mean, life.
I mean, everything that happens.
Whatever's like, happening right now.
Every day is like Final Destination. I think that something's happening.
So you're like, okay.
Okay, that's going to swing down to the top of my head, or like, you know, that someone's going to like forget to hit the brakes, and I'm going to be donezo. Every day.
Swing down and jump off.
Every day. That was looking around, and I'm like, right now, I'm thinking, okay, there's a short circuit. There's going to be condensation on the table. I'm going to be putting my hand there, and I'm fried.
Put this show on the map. Co-host to a local podcast, decapitated by a swinging thing.
By a swinging thing.
And the week before, he said he was affected by a swinging thing. Okay, so
you just,
life is your phobia. We keep
going. Yeah, I'm afraid of life. So Aaron Berry is a safety for the Kansas City Chiefs.
Yeah, first round pick. He's a stud. Yeah.
He has a I'll let you guess what this is. I don't even know how to pronounce it. Equinophobia. Equinophobia.
Queen of bees.
Scared of bees. Scared of old Kim. He has a equinophobia, which is a crippling fear of horses.
Horses.
They got the
Who's the chick from the Got Boxing movie? I looked at it was.
Oh yeah, Got Boxing.
The Clint Eastwood movie.
Hillary Swank?
Hillary Swank.
You combine a Got Milk commercial with boxing. You like Got Boxing.
All right, so he's scared of horses.
Yeah, it was inside the NFL segment where they had him mic'd up, I guess. And, here are some quotes from Eric Berry during the game. Oh, hell no. There go that horse. I don't F with that horse.
But there's a horse on the sideline?
I mean, what's the point? Probably the Broncos, I guess.
Yeah, okay.
The horse. I got to wait till the horse pass. I don't mess with horses, brah. Straight up, might come over here and throw a tantrum. Because that's what horses do. Hold up, coach. The horse out there, that horse. Oh, she need to go on ahead with that horse. I don't fool no horses, boy. Hell nah.
That's the best thing I've ever seen.
So
those quotes,
if I run like a Kentucky Derby or the Preakness, yeah, I'm sending Eric Berry like nonstop VIP passes to come.
Look, we need you there.
We need you there.
$1 million. What would be his price? He won't even go on the field. He's taking plays off because it's a horse. God, I love that. There go that horse. With that horse.
Yeah, I just saw
that horse eyeballing him like, come over here. I know you're a big, strong safety, but I will kick you in the face there, Perry. How did I not hear that story? I like that show, too. I'm surprised I didn't catch that one. Okay, what else you got?
What else do we have? We have, here's how bad downfall.
And I think we could pool some money and get him into Perry having the Baron.
And then end his flag football career real quick.
What do you got?
The downfall of Tiki Barber. Tiki Barber is
now... And you know how much I dislike Tiki Barber.
Yeah, I mean, he just... It's just when you think he's hit his wall, his ceiling of debaggery.
Cheating on his 8-month pregnant wife. All that.
He's now offering his services, I guess you could say, his company at golf outings, flag football.
In your backyard flag football.
Yeah.
You don't care where it is.
For under $2,000, you can play flag football with them.
Yeah. I heard $1,000. Give him $1,000 out the door. He comes in. Boom. Give me the flag. Let's get down to the brass tacks here.
Very lucky partner.
Now, if I'm playing in a big-time flag football league and I had, like, big-time money, I would bring him in.
Yeah, one game.
I played a lot of flag football in my life.
Mercenary style, yeah.
Yeah. At the WA, you can get some fraternity football. Bring in Tiki. Yeah, he started a company, if I heard the story correct. He started a company And he offers his services for a lot of guys. Now, the amazing thing to me, what I saw, so it was like, if you want to get so-and-so to come to your golf outing, it's $5,000. Ivan Nova, the number four starter for the New York Yankees,
yeah.
You want to get him somewhere, it's $4,000. Okay? So this just gives you like a price range of where this, you know, I'm like, that's not insane. If you want, you know, Ivan Nova, he's a Major League Baseball player, everybody knows him. He is one quarter the value of Ivan Nova right now. And he's doing it.
Ryan Tannehill for $5,000.
Ryan Tannehill started 9 weeks.
Looking quarterback.
Yeah. So I was listening. It was on the Bauer Show, which actually is a really, really good show. It's on ESPN at Hartford. So I only get it when I'm at work, but it's a really good show. And they were talking about it. And he was like, I would pay $10,000 to get his wife. Have you ever seen his wife or fiance?
Oh, yeah.
Ooh, wow. See?
Yeah. I mean, you got to leave her somewhere. Like after you're done your business.
Yeah. She easily becomes unattractive. But yeah, so he's $5,500, whatever it is. Larry Holmes was $6,000. Is he in there?
$6,250
for hours. He's like, I'm not coming out for
$6,000.
Yeah. I'm there. Yeah, that's a pretty exact price for this.
He's like, I gotta cover transportation.
So I wonder if that's all in. Like, we want to get CC. I don't know where he lives now.
There's going to be stipulations on this, though, because I can picture, like, a bunch of Boston Red Sox fans getting together and say, yeah, let's get Nova. We'll bring him out, and then we'll just, like, we'll take him out back somewhere.
That's that phobia of life.
Anyone wants to hire me for that much money, there's got to be something else going on.
Just before you click off of that, I saw, so far, it's like an auction bid on getting him to karaoke.
Yeah.
$350.
He'll probably do it, too.
He owes
a lot of money.
Straight cash, homie. You come with $350? Small bill? Untraceable?
Yeah, I covered the weekend best. You're fine.
There you go, man. $350. I can get him over here.
How about this? A woman. Oh, my God. Like some body.
You're a little. I sort that. Okay.
A woman laid down a $5 bet on football, won $100,000.
Was that one of those, like, 11 team parlays, or what did she got? They have those crazy things where you pick every game.
$5 bet on a 15-team parlay, and because the Saints beat the Eagles 2013 on the Monday Night Football a couple weeks ago, the woman is now $100,000 richer. She picked all 13 NFL games and two college games. The game with Nebraska, the 2-point favorite over Michigan State. Cornhuskers covered.
Yeah.
Biggest underdog, San Diego State, who doesn't punt on fourth down. We know that. Plus 15, won outright, 21-19.
They won outright. She left money on the table.
Yeah.
She could have parlayed that instead of taking the points. Play the money line. She could have won $200,000.
In fact, this was the one week. There was one bookie who said that he paid off more than 10 team parlays than he can remember in a single week of NFL action.
Wow.
Someone else spent $3. Cashed out for $9,000.
But if you pull a 10-team parlay, how upset are you that you only put $3 down? I mean, if you're pulling that off, you got to be like, I couldn't put in $5.
Yeah, she probably
exponentially gets bigger. Like, $3? Where do you get $3 from? You buy a canola and highlight? You get $3. Like, well, I'm not going to kick in $5.
Like, I don't have enough for that.
They came to the window with quarters, and we're like, I found these strewn throughout the casino. I'd like to play a quick 10-teamer.
Yeah, I fell asleep on the floor, and someone put $3 next to my body.
Yeah, right. It was probably for the maid, but I just figured I'd put it on there. I'll sit for $5 now.
How about this AHL team? NHL's got a lockout going on. And a lot of teams are doing this now. They want to, the Mets especially, they like to, you know, reach out to the Hispanic fan base. They have the Mets, and then they have the Los Mets.
Mm-hmm.
There's an AHL team, minor league hockey team, where they're called the Rockford Ice Hogs.
Oh, yeah, they're great.
And they wanted to celebrate.
They're a great second line.
Yeah, they're penalty killers. They're off the hook.
Oh, the Ice Hogs, sure.
Yeah. They wanted to celebrate Hispanic Heritage Weekend, which I didn't even know about. And they wanted to wear jerseys to commemorate that. So they threw a sombrero on the old ice hog.
Yeah.
And threw Los Ice Hogs underneath it. Put sombreros on each of the numbers.
Okay, everything's on the up and up to me.
Now, is that racist to you? They also put a mustache on it.
Yeah, I think it would have been okay without the mustache. Once the mustache came into play, I think it turned south for the Ice Hawks.
And they also gave out maracas to the first 2,500 fans.
And Dora the Explorer is on there. My daughter would love this. She's a huge Ice Hawks fan, so that's good.
Yeah, so, I mean, racist or not racist, I don't know.
I don't think that's racist. That's ridiculous to call that racist.
I kind of dig it. I mean, it's got like a... It's psychedelic. I mean, hopefully no one was on acid at this game.
Well, that's fine. That's not... I mean, political correctness needs to take a time out here.
And I'll leave you with this. This is why I should never be... He kind of looks like Lex Luthor's, like, a stepbrother.
Yeah.
Or, like, a sister
cousin. Yeah. He looks like the guy, the principal from Back to the Future.
Yeah, exactly. What were you calling everyone? Numbskulls?
Yeah.
Knuckleheads? We had a name for everyone.
What was it? I think it might have been Numbskulls, but yeah.
Numbskull.
He was an angry fella.
Yeah, so this guy is not angry. He just likes to take advantage of his power. It's the University of Iowa Athletics Advisor. He traded tickets for sex and harassed students since the 1990s.
Okay. Well,
name's Peter Gray. No relation to Dorian Gray.
He
13 years total. I mean, see, this is the thing. I'm so glad I'm not famous or rich or, like, have any kind of power. It goes to your head.
Here's the thing.
So many things I want to do.
I'm going to take away from this. Having seen the picture, it's amazing. Like, I prejudging someone and stuff, you never want to do it. But you look at this guy. And immediately when you start telling a story, the guy could see where this story is headed. You look at this fella. Yeah, I could see that. Look at the guy. It's like the guy, you know, the principal from Ferris Bueller's Day Off, sticking with 80s movies principals.
Yeah.
You look at him. They look like the sketchiest guy in the world.
Right.
Oh, yeah, he's a kid toucher. You know that happened? He's in jail right now for touching kids. And you're like, well, yeah. It's like you look at him. You're like, oh, I wouldn't let him babysit. I wouldn't let this fella hang out with my 18-year-old daughter either.
I think,
it's amazing, you know, how many times it turns out. But yeah, this guy, well, you know what? You worked your whole life. You want to become the University of Iowa athletic director.
But there's,
you cash that chip in.
Maybe I should start working at a university because I feel like a lot of universities are becoming very lenient with your behavior. Like this guy, he's
13 years.
Yeah, there were multiple reports. Like people are transferring, coworkers are leaving. Like students are like, you know, getting out of school, and he just reassigns. We're gonna reassign you to a place with less like hot students.
Like he got assigned to the fat fraternity or the fat sorority. I'm like, okay, you can go oversee those girls.
Yeah, I mean, I just feel like that you want
to
get
a horrible guy. I hope he goes to jail for a long time. Is he going to jail? Is he got arrested for this, or is he just reprimanded? He should go to jail. Clearly.
No, I mean they're going to cover up for another decade, and then it's all going to come out. And
yep.
They'll get the death penalty.
Back to the Future 4 comes out, and he's living off that, so he's good to go. All right, Neil. Well, Duty series is always good. You kept it a little clean, a little PG. I mean, which I like about that. I think kind of flushed you a little.
Yeah, he did. He rattled my cage.
He did.
I was like, I'm not trying to sling smut over here. I'm not a smut peddler.
The best thing was last week, you took a call.
Yeah.
And the meal, sandwiched between two penis stories that he did. There was one, we're like, oh, no, we're going to go. Oh, man, a real Will from New Haven comes in, was like breaking down
Notre Dame
football.
And
we just, Hale, are you still there? Yeah, I got another.
Here's another new guy.
Forget that. Well, now we're going to go. We don't have a top 10. We're going to go 5 and 10. And we actually have exactly 10 minutes left, so it's perfect. Perfect timing. We haven't done a 5 and 10 in a little while, so we're going to get right to it. Got to start with the mega trade that went down last night between the Florida Marlins or the Miami Marlins and the Toronto Blue Jays. Now, I'll give Evan Roberts credit. I'm an Evan Roberts fan. When the day Reyes signed with the Marlins, he said, and they played the clip again today, that's great. You'll be in Canada, playing in Canada next year.
Wow, really?
What are the chances of that?
Wow.
He's playing in Toronto. So, the deal, you got Reyes, you got Josh Johnson, you got Emilio Bonifacio, Burley, and Buck.
Yeah.
Experienced backup catcher. They got Aaron Seavey already. So, for a bunch of guys who really, none of them are, studs, I mean, but the prospects. My thing is, I mean, everybody's there are people that are literally saying that the Marlins need to get out of Major League Baseball because they're an embarrassment.
I think this whole thing is an overreaction. I really do. I think it's an overreaction. I think the Marlins, this is just the Marlins.
That's what they do.
And then they'll come back in like 3 years and win a World Series.
Who are we? Anyone in the league to question how the Miami Marlins run their franchise. Name a National League team that's won more World Series over the last 15 years than that.
Yeah.
None.
I mean,
the Cardinals have won two. They've won two. They've won as many World Series championships in the last 15 years as the Mets have in 50 years of existence. So now all of a sudden we're complaining about how they run their franchise? You wait and see. I mean, 3 years from now, they'll be at the top of the National League.
Yeah.
Why? Who are we to complain? Look, they took their shot, which was the first time they really did that. I mean, I know they brought in some pieces back in 97, some little part-time guys, but this was really like long-term contracts they haven't done. And they cleared house. They've gotten rid of Henry Ramirez. They got rid of Heath Bell. They got rid of their manager. They got rid of all the guys you just named. And they're just like, all right, we'll just start over. I did see Mike Stanton was real. Giancarlo Stanton was really upset about the whole thing.
Yeah.
And they said, so what? We got you under control. You're not free. You're not even arbitration eligible yet.
You're still here. You know, I mean,
you have huge biceps, but I'm not scared of you.
Yeah.
Everybody in Miami has huge biceps.
And, you know, I actually don't know anything about these prospects, but it feels to me almost like, you know, we had mentioned in one of the previous shows the Mark Teixeira trade and how it ultimately ended up benefiting the Texas Rangers and how they ended up coming out of nowhere. And, so it, like we say, oh, prospects now. And maybe they're not top prospects, but.
You know, they got Juno Escobar's going to play shortstop. He'll be fine. They got a couple prospects. Look, I'm not going to question them. I think the bigger thing to look at is if you're a New York Yankee fan, clearly the Orioles are on the rise. The Rays aren't going anywhere. And now you have a team that's going to have a legit pitching staff. You forget about the injuries they had in their pitching staff last year with Grayback and Morrow. Morrow was on paper Cy Young year. I mean, he was the Cy Young Award winner.
He looked really good. Yeah.
They got him coming back. They got Josh Johnson now. You know, they got Reyes. Then they got their two big boppers in Encarnacion and Bautista. That team is dangerous.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not even a big Mark Burley fan, but he's the king of the six-inning, three- or four-run run game. So it's like, man, that team is dangerous.
Yeah, and the funny part of the whole situation is that, of course, the Yankees are always part of the storyline. It's like any trade that goes down, the Yankees are like somehow
we didn't know
involved. We were involved in every trade discussion.
We didn't know Reyes was available. Who were you going to put Reyes? We were just taking them. Just stashing somewhere.
Exactly.
A pinch runner. Yeah. They don't care. But yeah, they were like genuinely upset. Whatever. I think it's fantastic. I think that the whole thing that went down was fantastic.
Yeah.
I think it's fantastic that everybody's overreacting to the Marlins. And you're like, okay, you see what happened in 3 years of the Marlins.
Exactly.
Never count the Marlins out. Sticking with baseball, we can just go over this quick. Torii Hunter signed a contract with the Tigers. And the reason I want to bring it up, so he signed a 2-year, $26 million contract with the Tigers. And which to me is just a ridiculous contract. And it's weird because basically they're saying they're giving up on, Brennan Bosch. He's going to wind up playing one of the corner outfield spots because they got Austin Jackson.
It's like a Hunter Pence contract with them.
Well, that's why I want to bring it up. So if I'm, when I said 5 years, $70 million, you said it would be that's a ridiculous.
It's ridiculous, yeah.
Hunter Pence at 31 years old is not making $14 million a year when Torii Hunter is making a multiple-year contract making 13 per, then you're crazy. Hunter Pence will be 31 years old. He will get 14 to 15 million a year when he signs his contract after next season. And I think the Mets should go after him. That's the only reason I bring up this Torii Hunter Pence. He's much better than Torii Hunter. He's 337.
I've never seen Hunter Pence rob anyone. You know, a home run.
Well,
that's my last.
That's the last.
He gets one Andy
Chavez
moment.
Yeah,
and I'm on board.
He's got it. All right, quickly we'll go over some college football since Will from New Haven called in last week. First, we got to talk about Bama. I mean, Steve Spurrier went out and said that Bama would beat a multiple NFL teams, which I think is ridiculous. We talked about it last year with Kentucky basketball. After Kentucky basketball, it would not beat any, even the Charlotte Bobcats, they wouldn't beat anybody. And you can see it now. I mean, all the guys that got drafted, it's not like they're lighting the world on fire.
Exactly.
20 points a game. That would never happen. And football is even exponentially harder to do. There's no way any college football team.
Look at Heisman winners. Look how many of them don't pan out in the NFL. I mean,
yeah. The Oregon Ducks would come to the NFL, and the Jaguars would shut them out. Okay. Like, they just wouldn't work at the NFL level. Just look at rookies. Look at how great of a wide receiver Justin Blackman was last year, and he's non-existent.
Not to mention, you have a lot of athletes in the NFL that were just dumb as rocks and couldn't go to a good college.
Oh, yeah.
They were just wiped out with being athletic.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there's a lot of guys like that in the NFL because they don't need to pass an intelligence test to go.
You watch any Monday night game and all these guys. One guy said he went to the University of Shaolin. You see that? He gave a Wu-Tang shout out this week. I forget who it was, the linebacker. The University of Shaolin.
Yeah.
I mean, there you go. They don't care. That's a joke. But now Bama goes out and loses. I watched that entire game because it was big for Notre Dame. And, you know, clearly they were a much better team than A&M. They got down early. A fluke pick where they got kicked off guy and then obviously the pick to end the game. But there was a big, there's a lot of people out there that are like, well, this is ruins the college football season because clearly Alabama is the best team in football, in college football, and they're not going to play in the national championship game, so it makes it stupid. I don't think so. You got to win your games.
Yeah.
I mean, and I'm not saying that's Notre Dame game because Notre Dame still might not play in the national championship game, but you know what, how many times? Clearly, the Packers were the best team in football last year. Did we say that? Well, the whole season, the NFL season, was pointless because the Packers didn't play in the Super Bowl. The best two teams don't always play in a championship game at every level of every sport. So that's just a stupid argument. Why is college football the one?
Plus, it adds to the storyline too. If you have a team there that, and you know. I don't know. It sparks a lot of controversy, but you get people talking about it.
I mean, look, there's a decent chance they still play in the next championship.
Oh, yeah.
Because, you know, one of the three unbeaten could lose. Two of them could lose. I mean, look, Notre Dame's going to have to play USC in a couple weeks. K-State could lose. Obviously, Oregon could lose. And then if two of the three of those lose, and Alabama's in the next championship game, and it's all for naught.
Right.
To predict what's going to go on is something different. But we got to talk quickly about Notre Dame.
I thought you were a Notre Dame fan.
No, I'm so excited. I have a huge Notre Dame fan. I just genuinely a little bit of throat came out of my mouth. So
Notre Dame. So you're really confident about the Fighting Irish going in this week?
Maybe I'm a little late. So and I asked Will.
You can't get too excited. You had too much candy. Oh my God! Yes, Notre Dame.
So I asked Will, who's a huge, bigger Notre Dame fan than I am. I'm a casual Notre Dame fan, but I said, well, you know, did you see this season coming? Because I didn't see it coming. They always have the toughest schedule. They play all these, you know, great games, although clearly it's not the toughest schedule now. But on paper before the season, we thought it would be the toughest schedule. And he goes, well, I go into every season thinking they're going to win the national championship. I'm not that type of Notre Dame fan. I'm not, you know, I'm a casual Notre Dame fan, so I'm really excited for where they are right now. I figured they'd go into BC and beat BC. They did. You know, they got a game against Wake, and then they got to go out and play USC. They got to go play USC. I mean, there's so many. It's weird. I'm in a weird position because there's so many Notre Dame haters. It's almost like being a Yankee fan. So I've never been in that scenario where now, like, everybody's on Facebook or on and they're killing Notre Dame. Like, you know, it's cool kind of to be on that side. I'm a Mets, Jets, and Mets fan. What the hell do I know?
Right.
Nobody hates my team. They feel bad for them.
Yeah.
So it's cool to be on that side. So I'm excited. I mean, this is super exciting. They got to go out and take care of business. I could see them losing a game this week, you know, with the Wake. But, you know, I think it's really exciting. I think it'd be great if all three teams are going to that last week undefeated. Last game undefeated. At USC, you know, going into the season, they were the first team number one, so it looked like it was a great game. Now, it's going to be tough, but that win might not propel them into the two seed,
right,
which will be tough. The only thing we got to finish with here, we had a guy call in last week, Dave Libertor, gave us some picks and some like ways to bet and everything. His one pick was the K-State TCU game. He loved TCU.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, it did not pan out for Libs. He did actually come in with another pick, a parlay pick, which I don't have time to go over now. We'll post it on the website. But we will post the Libs, and you can call in any time. We're not going to hold that TCU pick against you. Neil, it's good to have you back, buddy. You feel like you just jump right back in like you never left, man. Sandy, your birthday, nothing held you down. You're back in action.
I'm immortal.
The only thing that took you out was flustering you like you're serious.
Yeah, I mean, you know, O's word is like, you know, word of God.
You got to get his respect.
Yeah.
You really do.
That's my deathbed wish. Can I go now, let me go.
Can I get decapitated, please? All right, we're the Tri-City Sports Guys. Check us out next week, Wednesday night, 8 o'clock every week. See you next week.
I said week a lot.
Week.